We're going to be learning a lot more about contact tracing soon. You saw the mayor's announcement yesterday, $56 million program. 600 new people will be hired as contact tracers. I think they're going to start in August, making $20 to $24 an hour. And it made you think, so how does it work when you get contacted by somebody? How do they work through the system? It's supposedly if you get COVID-19, then they go back and they look at anyone you might have had contact with. Let's find out a little more about how it works. Dr. Sadia Khan, she's a professor of epidemiology and cardiology, Northwestern Medicine, and we so appreciate your time, Dr. Khan. Thanks for being on.
Thanks so much for having me.
So this, I mean, there's so many questions about this. I think for most of us, we're not used to contact tracing. It's, I know it's been around for a while, but so few of us have ever been exposed to it. And I just wonder, is it the kind of thing, can you lead us through how it works and, you know, what the process is sort of like?
Sure. And this is something that has been done for public health, from a public health perspective, for a lot of diseases like tuberculosis. It's not something that we're familiar with because thankfully there hasn't been a communicable pandemic such as COVID in our lifetime that has been as contagious and as widespread. But the basic idea is to try to identify among people who have been diagnosed with COVID who they may have come in close contact with and potentially spread COVID to. And the goal is to begin a period beginning 48 hours before symptoms appear, according to the CDC. The definition of close contact has been within 6 feet of an individual for at least 15 minutes. And we do know that the risk of contacting COVID goes up the longer and the closer you are with someone who is infected.
So 6 feet of an individual for at least 15 minutes. I suppose that could be somebody who you were in line behind at the Home Depot or the Costco or the grocery store. I don't know. Would it last that long? Is that the kind of detail? Is that how deep you would go in terms of finding folks like the grocery store checkout person? Would they be part of this? Or does it have to be a little more than that?
That's a really good question, and I think that emphasizes one of the points, that contact tracing does not preclude what we've been doing with social distancing and masking. The goal is not to replace or do away with the measures that we've already put in place, because those do work. We know that social distancing and wearing a face cover can help prevent spread as well. So that, I think, will help in terms of public places where you may or may not know who you've been in contact with if those measures weren't in place.
Mm-hmm. So the mayor says, and I know this will be happening in communities all across the state, all over the region, where you'll have folks who are specifically, that's their job to sort of, I guess, speak with you and lead you through, maybe, I don't know, jog your memory, I suppose, about who you might have been in contact with. You'd already know the people in your household. You'd probably know if you spent a long time with a neighbor or something, I suppose. You wonder how that whole process goes, and, you know, dealing with a contact tracer, it just seems like something so new to us.
Absolutely. It's something that seems so foreign and not something that we've been exposed to. And the goal is to try to identify individuals, and I've heard called an army of disease detectives, find individuals that have some training in public health that can work through this with people with all backgrounds and of all educational levels. I think the other piece of this is not just trying to figure out how to determine who someone's been in contact with, but what are the resources that we need to help people quarantine and make sure that within households, if that is needed, that there is space and people have the resources available to do this.
Yeah, isn't it? You know, we heard Google and Apple was launching this big contact tracing app. I think they're starting using it in sort of like test areas in Switzerland. I heard they're using it where you turn on your Bluetooth and it'll actually tell you and send anonymous data and pings to let you know if you've come in contact with someone for that period of time. I think you said 15 minutes, 6 feet of somebody. If you've had that sort of exposure, that you might be at risk. I guess there's the digital side of things, and then there's the human side of things, which is more what we're getting up and going here locally very soon. I saw something. Johns Hopkins has a course teaching you how to be a contact tracer if you want to apply for one of these jobs, these many, many jobs across the nation, just what questions to ask, how to look for people who might be showing some sorts of symptoms and that kind of thing. It's a pretty involved process. process, isn't it? Kind of figuring out everyone you might have come in contact with, especially as things reopen. You know, we enter phase three here. Some more things are going to be open. There'll be more opportunities for contact, certainly in Indiana and Wisconsin. That's already happening. You're seeing beaches and that sort of thing open. It just seems as if there are a lot more opportunities for exposure.
Absolutely, and I think that's why there needs to be some caution in how quickly we reopen and what types of gatherings are considered allowable or permissible to try to mitigate some of that. I think the stories and the pictures that we've seen of beaches open with complete elimination of social distancing, it's not the time, and as much as we can all understand and empathize with the fatigue that comes with having already been social distanced, even with the privilege of having somewhere safe and warm to be, it's very mentally and emotionally taxing. And I think there is good reason to cautiously reopen with safety measures in place. And yeah. I agree, it's a very intensive process and something that we will need a new workforce for. And in some ways, perhaps that's a blessing in disguise, that we do need new trained personnel and we have new jobs that need to be provided, and I think there are a lot of people that potentially could fill these roles.
Yeah, they say 18 months minimum employment, so it isn't just sort of a you do it for a month or two and then you're done. And again, it's $20 to $24 an hour. That's at least the city's program. I mean, they're going to be needed, I'm sure, absolutely everywhere. So if you want to go to the city website, you can apply for that, or some of the other suburbs and things like that are probably doing the same thing. Do hospitals already do this, Dr. Sadi? I mean, in general, when you're having a COVID patient, like at Northwestern or somewhere, are you working with that family, or how does that go from there in terms of, you know, doing contact tracing just on the level you're doing it already?
Absolutely. Right now, the hospitals are following similar to CDC and general Department of Public Health recommendations and telling patients who have tested positive to inform any of their close contacts lasting from before they were even symptomatic, especially because studies have shown that some of the greatest risk of spread comes even before somebody has symptoms. In fact, some people may never have symptoms. And so I think that's the other challenge with contact tracing and why just contact tracing alone is not going to work until there's a vaccine.
Finish your thought.
So just the last piece I was going to say is I think you mentioned that the city's initiative, but this thinking even on a kind of national level, we've got estimates of needing more than 100,000 to 300,000 people to really make this type of contact tracing work.
Yeah, it's a huge, huge undertaking for sure. Can I ask you a question? Because you're a cardiologist as well. There's a piece of this, too, where you're hearing that people are kind of letting go with some of their health care during this thing because they've been wondering about whether or not it's safe enough to see a doctor, or maybe you're sort of putting it off or even concerned about, you know, initially health care services being overwhelmed. All kinds of reasons you keep hearing for people putting off their heart health. And I just wonder if you can give us any advice for folks who are dealing with that, because that is still, I believe, the number one killer and the number one thing we need to be concerned with health-wise in the nation.
Absolutely. That's a great comment. And obviously, as a cardiologist, one that is near and dear to my heart as well. While we have done a great job social distancing, and our attempts on the hospital and healthcare side have been to delay any unnecessary care. But we have continued to provide necessary care, and we encourage all of our patients to continue to seek care and contact their doctor if they're having any concerning symptoms. Our goal in trying to make sure the system was not overwhelmed was to delay annual physicals and delay routine testing that could be put off, but safely, but not to delay things that are urgent or important. And in fact, there have been multiple studies now published in the literature showing that the number of people coming into the hospital for a heart attack or stroke declined by 50%. I don't think that means they're not happening, so that's very concerning to me, that people may be putting off their own health that could be as serious as a heart attack because out of fear. We have excellent protocols in place to make sure that people are not getting contaminated or infected while they're at the hospital, and that's why we're here working.
Yeah, I saw that. It was alarming to see half of the people who needed potential care that might be really, really important, we're actually putting it off. That was like I said, alarming. Are you doing telehealth? Are those options available? Is that something you can even do as a cardiologist?
Absolutely. We've had a very robust telehealth program in cardiology as well as across the Northwestern Medicine system to be able to discuss with patients what their symptoms are, what they're worried about, how we can better triage, whether or not they do need to come in person. And that's been a great way to kind of say, well, let's just have a chat and see how you're feeling, what's going on, and get an opinion about, do you need to come in? And then once you do, we decide that, how do we safely institute policies in the practice so that you can safely come in without being exposed to anybody else as well.
All right. So tell people they shouldn't put that off, right, Dr. Sadia? Don't put that
Absolutely.
Kind of thing off. Thank you so much for your time, doctor. Appreciate it.
For sure. Thank you so much. Take care. Be safe.
That's a helpful explanation of contact tracing and beyond. Dr. Sadia Khan, she's an assistant professor. She's a cardiologist, epidemiology department at Northwestern Medicine.